everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I do have to say, I did get out and about this week. I did go to the Literacy Center's International food tasting. I only stayed briefly because I've been still fighting the flu and I got some bronchitis, but it's not contagious. I'm just dealing with that issue. So if I sound a little hoarse, it's just because of that. And I did have a couple of questions for Mayor Dumas, who is my guest this morning. We'll get into that in just a moment. But there are a couple of things I did want to mention. Bill Mackey's interview didn't play a couple of weeks ago because we had a computer glitch. So we're going to rebroadcast that on May 27th. And two other things. One is I do want to give a shout out to Kim from the Ugly Dog Bookstore. And I want to wish her the very best in the future. As you know, that they had closed their doors after 5.5 years this past Thursday. And they were a great community little store, very eclectic. And I had her on a couple of weeks ago. And her and her husband decided to close just recently. So I do want to mention that. Nice couple. And I do sincerely mean that. I hope they open another business somewhere soon. Last evening, I went to a Wish Come True. They were celebrating 23 years. Even though I was under the weather, I you know, you kind of figure you don't want to go out, but you already bought the ticket, and I'm really glad that I did. I made some really great connections with people, and I told them about WARA 1320, about the area, and that we are vital, and we're 6 days of broadcasting. So we made some new friends and everything. Okay, so now I would like to thank Mayor Dumas for coming on this morning. We have a lot to talk about. At 7:35, Jim Corbin will be calling in with our weather forecast for the week. And I couldn't believe when I walked out today at 6 o'clock that the birds were chirping. It was actually warm. I wore a heavy jacket and I certainly didn't need it. But I'm looking forward to a fantastic day and a fantastic interview with Mayor Dumas. So good morning.
Good morning, Elaine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for coming.
It's always a pleasure.
I really do appreciate this. I was out and about, I'm telling you, and we have a couple of questions from your constituents. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, great. And then we'll talk about our website, too, because that was really, really great. At the food tasting, some of the folks were asking, about, is there any chance of bringing back, you know, your constituent person there at City Hall? Because it was so important. Three people had said to me, you're going to be talking to the mayor. Can you mention that to me? He was just a vital part of our city in just getting to the answers for people that really needed some answers. And it wasn't going through like a regular system of government where you just get lost. He was such a vital part of it, and I personally had dealings with him, too, and it would just cut through the red tape, and you have the answers, and we were just wondering, is there any chance of bringing that person or someone back?
Yeah, the Municipal Council made it quite clear last year. If you recall, that was reduced during the budget preparation last year. The council made their choice to eliminate that position. And they did that, they said, because of the fact that there are 12 positions across the city that were eliminated in order to help the schools. That funding went directly from city departments over to the school department to try to help them, in addition to the fact that the school lost 34 positions last year. So the council made the recommendation to be able to reduce that position. And unfortunately, it was a vital position. And even though the director of budget and myself had went through to really evaluate every position in the city to make the selections that we thought were fitting for reduction, the council thought otherwise. And that was really unfortunate because it was a position that not only cut through red tape, but also could work independently and work with other departments to bring them together, because a lot of issues that happen, it's not just one department, it's many departments. And that position was crucial in order to be able to do that. And that was not submitted. I just submitted the budget on Thursday night this week. Mm-hmm. That position was not included in the budget this year that it's submitted for fiscal 18, which starts in July, simply because of the fact there are so many other pressing needs. And I think the council made their point clear that that wasn't a priority for them.
Well, out in the community, we miss him.
And I believe me, we miss that position too, because it's not just one thing that flows through the mayor's office. There are many, many things that come through our office. We have liquor licensing. We have all citywide contracts, all citywide purchase orders, all citywide legal all citywide insurance policies and claims, in addition to the mayor's communication to the city council, all documents pertaining to city business, all the things and meetings and schedules and events that happen in the city, all go through the mayor's office. So it is a very busy place. On top of all the calls, all the complaints, all the praises, the needs for meetings, organizing with other city departments, that just happens with me. And then I have Allison, who's the legal secretary, and Kathy Ilkowitz, who is the mayor's secretary. And that's all I've got.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things that happen, and a lot of great things that happen. And I think that people don't realize necessarily how many things go through the mayor's office, but it is a very, very busy place, I assure you.
Oh, my gosh. I hear you. Also, too, it's been in the papers, and we had talked about this, too, about the new construction in the city. Can you make some more highlights or go back to where we were going to be doing? Because people wanted to know, like, where the new construction was going to be, when it was going to be starting.
Sure, there's a lot of new construction, whether it's residential or commercial. The commercial development primarily is in South Attleboro, and you can see a lot of that along the stretch of Route 1. There's two new plazas going in right next to each other. Mm-hmm. One we call the Triangle portion, which is the former Vashon property. That's owned now by Carpionato Properties that owns all the major properties down in that area. In addition to the plaza, which is the shops at Mayfair, and that's under construction now. And you can see we're having the city's first Starbucks, which we're really excited about. So if you go down Route 1 and you're going past the Stop and Shop Plaza, which is one side of the Mayfair Shopping Plaza, look across the street. There's a new fitness center that's going to be opening in that plaza. And I saw the Starbucks sign go up this week. So I was really happy about that. And it includes a drive-through too, for those people who don't want to go in and take a load off and relax a little bit. You can still stay in your vehicle and get your Starbucks to go. So that's really exciting. But that plaza will be opening in this year, which will be fantastic. And then they'll start construction on the next one, which is major tax revenue for the city, which we're really happy about.
Right.
That's one sector. And certainly the other sector is the continuation of the New England Sports Village.
Oh, yes.
So they are unbelievable. Just last Friday, a week ago yesterday, their restaurant inside the ice arena mm-hmm. opened. It's called The Barn. And that is brand new. That opened last Friday. And they're really excited about that. And so far, I hear it's been a hit. Mm-hmm. So that's fantastic. And even if you're not going to actually watch someone on the ice, you can go into the restaurant and
wow.
support a local business, which is fantastic.
Yes.
So that's... their next phases of development will, of course, include the aquatic facility. It'll include the hotel and steakhouse, which will be next. And then following that will be the turf fields and the actual outdoor field house and all the other ancillary services that are to come. So that's construction on the commercial industrial sector for at least the next 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
That area is really going to take off.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there was going to be another restaurant coming into that area as well
with
the hotel.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be
great.
A steakhouse that'll be with the hotel, which will have a couple hundred rooms. And that's the city's first major hotel since years ago when we had the Holiday Inn down in South Attleboro.
Right.
And you'll remember that the Rando family had owned that. And that was actually one of the busiest Holiday Inn in the entire chain, believe it or not. And, of course, that was torn down for the development of that massive plaza mm-hmm. down where Olive Garden currently sits down in South Attleboro.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
That was a major site for the – because they had a major restaurant, as well as the – in a function room in addition to the hotel that was there many years ago. So when they tore that down and made that enormous plaza where Home Depot is, and Olive Garden, the former Kmart, of course, Bob's Stores, where Market Basket is, all of that development, that's where the major Holiday Inn was.
Wow.
Many, I'm dating myself. That was many years ago. And since they lost, we lost that hotel, we haven't had one since.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So this will be our first major hotel. And it'll be something probably like in the Hampton Inn family.
Mm.
It'll be a nice quality hotel. Not only to serve the sports village, but to serve the residents of the city and the businesses that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really excited about that. So that'll be upcoming in the future years as well.
And I was just thinking function room, too, and different things that people could have, the events there, too. That's awesome.
Right, because if you think about it, the Elks can only hold so many people. And
right.
That's our largest function room in the city if you want to have an event. So once you get larger than 350 people, we really don't have a place to go.
Mm.
So this is a nice sector to be able to have have that, and we're really excited about that coming to Attleboro and specifically to the Sports Village.
That's great.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. And of course, in addition, when we left off last time, we were talking about what's going to be happening in the development down at the Intermodal Transportation Center. And I know that we're going to be breaking soon, so hopefully we can come back to that in a little bit.
Sure.
But we're really excited. That's just the development on the commercial industrial sector. And there's a lot to come over the next several years that we're really, really happy about. Attleboro's on the move.
It is, and that's great because it brings in more revenue, too. And I just see so much resurgent. And, yeah, I know we're up against the break because everybody wants to talk about the downtown area as well. But there's a lot of things happening, too. I noticed that there's solar power in the Attleboro High School. I know that the farmer's market is going to be – if Heather, if you're listening, I know that I'll have you on the show at some point, too, to talk about this because I know on June 17th it's the farmer's market, and that's seven weeks away, and I've been counting down. But, yeah, there has been a lot of buzz. But everybody I've talked to has been really positive. They really feel that the mood of the city, the renovations, and also what you were talking about, and we will go into it after break as far as like the downtown needs to be revitalized, and you have a great structure, great plans for that with the older buildings and the South Attleboro area. Are there any other businesses? I know Vision Work just there was a sign there too. I seen Vision Work in that plaza, but do you know of the other stores that haven't opened yet but that might, besides the Starbucks and the fitness center?
There's certain ones that have talks with the Campionato family who owns the property, but if it hasn't been public yet, I can't talk about some of those things. But you'll be seeing some of the other things that will be coming very, very soon. And one of the prerequisites that they need is the traffic signals to be installed before they can actually open.
Gotcha.
And that was a condition not only of Mass DOT, because of course they have the right-of-way over Route 1, which the state owns, and also that was built into the planning board's approvals when they gave approvals to the plaza. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot of construction, roadway construction going on Route 1 in that section because they have to add the signals in to turn into the plaza. So.
Gotcha. I got to hold you there. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My special guest is Mayor Dumas. If you have a question for the mayor, call us at 508-222-1320. But we'll be right back after these messages.
Senior citizens, attend a free dental screening at Community V&A in Attleboro on Saturday, May 6th from 8:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. Participants will receive a free dental exam and have the opportunity to speak with our dentists in the clinic's relaxed, friendly setting. Participants will also be screened for oral cancers and have a chance to receive free denture cleanings. To schedule your free appointment, call 774-203-1906. The free dental screening is organized by the Elder Dental Program, a project of Community V&A.
Community V&A, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community V&A is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink of my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, Let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Do you want to learn more about the most famous marathon in the world? Then tune in to AACS Channel 15 this week to watch Boston Marathon History by the Mile. The presentation is based on the book of the same name by Paul Clarisi, an experienced runner of the marathon. For a schedule of when it will play on AACS 15, visit AACS.com. You can also view the presentation in high definition on the AACS Roku channel, on AACS.com, and on the AACS mobile app.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. This looks like it's going to be a fantastic day. Jim Corbin's forecast will be coming at 7:35, but right now we're back in studio with Mayor Dumas. And also, if you have a question for the mayor, please call us at 508-222-1320. So getting back to, and now you have more time to talk to me about the downtown and the new construction, as other folks are very curious as to what's going to happen with those buildings.
So we have one of the key components in any successful downtown. You need people living downtown, and you need expendable income. Because if you do not have the people who are willing to spend the dollars, who live right in that area, there's no way that you're going to be able to have the storefronts and the restaurants to be able to even thrive and to continue. Mm-hmm. That's a key component. So as part of all of our plans, specifically what's happening down in the Intermodal Transportation Center District, the residential component is absolutely key. So I'm going to take it from two perspectives. One, the continued development that's going to happen in that area. So we know that we have the first building up, 6-story building with 80 units of housing. This fall, we'll start the construction of 2 new buildings. They'll be right next to each other, right across the street. So right in front of the bus loop, there's a parcel of land, and we call that Renaissance Station South. And that's going to be 2 buildings with over 200 units of housing.
Wow.
So that construction starts this fall, and it'll take about 1.5 years to be able to get to completion. And the exciting thing is that the rest of the district is going to be developed, which is from behind the bus loop all the way down to Olive Street.
Nice.
So all of those development parcels, we're going to be searching for and choosing a master developer with GATRA, the MBTA, and the city's redevelopment authority. We'll all do that together and choose the master developer who will buy in and be able to develop the rest of the vision for that area, which will include high-density housing, and that will be backed up with the new Riverfront Drive that's going to be opening by June 30th, in addition to the Judy Robbins Memorial Riverfront Park, which will be opening by June 30th, right in that area.
Nice.
So that's going to be a whole new downtown village section that's going to help spur the rest of the development that happens in the rest of the downtown, which is crucial. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I mentioned in my budget submittal on Thursday night this week is that we're going to start to embark on the redevelopment of a portion of Union Street. So from the old Kidstown, or the Salvation Army building, whatever you call it, from that parking lot and that building all the way down to the corner is going to be slated for redevelopment. And so those underutilized buildings, something that everyone always talks about, they talk about that section. That will be, we've already been in talks with the person who owns the real estate. One person owns all the parcels.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Wow.
And that family is interested in working with the city and the redevelopment authority to be able to transfer the property where the city would buy it, but already team up with a developer. So literally it would only be the short-term borrowing just to provide the money, and the city would get its money back. But you're going to get something as a development that's going to happen that's going to provide significant more tax revenue than what's there today.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what's going to go in there?
It would again be mixed use. So you would have commercial on the first floor, and you'd have high-density residential above.
Wow.
So when you start to look at the downtown and you see that there can be several hundred new units of housing, that automatically brings in that expendable income to pour into the downtown to sustain not only the new restaurants that we have in addition to what we had with our staple of Morns, which has continued to thrive and to be able to change over the years, but also provide new different opportunities. Mm. You need different types of services. You need dry cleaners. You need dog groomers. You need different types of flower services. You need all different types of ancillary things. When you live in the downtown, you use the commuter rail, you're on the bus system, and or whether you don't even have a car and you use an Uber. You know, you're seeing a lot of people be able to use those new services, but when you create that new downtown village, those are the things that happen, and they can, you know, spill and turn into new areas of the storefront. So we need that to happen in this area, and it is happening already. It just takes time.
Right.
It really does take time. You know, we put in the money into the infrastructure, which changed the image of the whole area of the downtown, which is great. But now it's now time for the construction component of the project. The other portion, you know, there's other eyesores, we'll call it, right across from the Chronicle. That's the Kanata building, which is to the left of the Senior Center, and right across from the Chronicle, the old Fishnet building.
Oh, yes.
That building was up for sale. There was a developer that had came in, and that was going to be all slated for a partial demolition and rehabilitation with a new addition onto the building. That was going to be all residential, and unfortunately, the deal fell apart between the two parties.
Yeah.
But we have someone that's trying to resurrect a new deal that would lose probably very much the same thing, the same type of project, which would be great. Which would again provide, I think it's up to 25 units of housing in that building. So you start to see piece by piece to come together, but you also need willing people either to sell their property or work with us.
Right.
Because if we're trying to provide the tools and bring developers in to be able to do that type of work, you need willing people and willing partners. So right now, it looks really good. Specifically, we have control and we own all of the parcels at the Intermodal Transportation Center District. Mm-hmm. And we're all working on the master planning. So that project is all certain to go forward. And we have someone, as I said, on the Union Street block, which is great because one person owns the selected properties we just talked about. So there's no doubt that that will go forward as well. And then we can try and help foster the rest of the development as we move forward. But we need willing partners, too.
Right. That's great. That's good to know that Fishnet building is going to be redeveloped at some point.
At some point, yeah. It's just, believe me, it's an eyesore. The two top properties that people talk about is A, that building, and B, the little block that we just talked about on Union Street that people always talk about. And people think, for the most part, the city can just come in and do what it wants. And it doesn't work like that. So, you know, we need to be working with willing property owners. And of course, we have to have a plan that makes sense and that's approved by the state when we do these massive projects. And that's what's called our urban renewal plan. And so we have that for the Riverfront District of the ITC. And of course, we have that here for the Union Street block. But there's a lot of planning and thought process that goes behind all of these projects.
Right.
And it's really successful. We're really looking forward to it.
I know that we have like the Larson Senior Center. Is there a... will there be affordable housing for seniors and families in the downtown with all this new construction?
So for the projects that the city is approving, we have the opportunity in certain zoning districts to give extra density bonuses. And one of the things that we're looking at is creating some additional zoning amendments that allow for density bonuses if they provide workforce housing. Which is fantastic,
right.
which is technically affordable workforce housing,
mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic. So that's what we're looking to do in the sectors where we are trying to focus development, and the state really pushes us forward to be able to work on those types of things,
right?
Which is great. So we're going to try to be able to work very closely with the developers to continue to try to push that initiative forward.
Wow, that sounds great.
Because
with everything, I know with all the construction, with all the housing units, you need people to move in there. You need to be able to, Mike is, we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's ask the mayor. Good morning.
Hi, Mayor Dumas.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks.
I just wanted to ask you basically about what the timetable is for the high school. You know, maybe give us an idea of how long it's going to take with renovating it. Is it going to be a new high school? What the costs are going to be? And just, you know, an idea of what the new high school might look like and what changes will happen in the high school because of all of the construction.
Sure. If you actually go, I know that Elaine's going to be talking about this in a little bit, but if we have a new website that the city just launched a week ago, it's cityofattleboro.us. And when you go to the main page, you can actually look to the left-hand side, and we actually have a tab for the high school project. And it's really important that we begin to be able to point people to the web and to the newspaper for the articles that will be coming out, just to be able to give an overview. And I'm not sure how much people really realize, but the original building of the high school was built in 1960, with the addition in 1970, 71. That was completed in 73, that when the school reopened. It's a 428,000 square foot monstrosity that really is out of date, major system failures that have to be addressed, and the school doesn't have a sprinkler system. It doesn't have the updates for current means of technology. And we need to be able to have a building that provides a 21st century education that our students need. Project-based learning, collaborative learning, things that are very different than it was back in 1960 and 1970. And the building is just tired. It needs to be rehabilitated. Of course, it is a very expensive project. If you haven't seen it, we had an article in the paper just several weeks back that talked about the different opportunities for the project. And pretty much now there's two options. One, which is just it's a renovation of the existing building where a portion would be demolished and there would be a new addition put onto the building in order to be able to sustain the 21st century learning. That price tag for the renovation in addition to the building would be over $280 million. And the construction for that phased in would take a 7-year phase-in project for the entire project. If we choose to go with a brand new building, which would be on the same site, but would be slightly closer to Rathbun Willard Drive and a little bit to the right of where the existing parking lot is, that is a 3-year build-out. And it only costs $260 million. So it would save about $20 million on the project, and it would save 4 years on the construction schedule. The state would be picking up a large portion of the project, thank goodness. But the city would still have to go through the process and secure funding for the rest of and the remaining portions of the project, which is about $130 million. It's a significant, significant dollar amount. And that would end up having to come as a debt exclusion because something of that magnitude certainly cannot be absorbed into the city budget under Proposition 2.5. The city only gets an additional $1.6 million in additional tax revenue via the tax levy increase every year. That simply cannot sustain the operating cost of the budget, nor taking on $130 million in debt. So we're working now that the budget's been submitted as of this past Thursday. The team will get back together and continue to start to work on different financing options and numbers that we can start to bring to the general public in order to try to look at what that type of tax implication could be and what that would look like in fiscal years. So if the people of the city decided to be able to allow the city to push forward with that project, it would probably be in the 2020 timeframe, and it would be a 3-year construction schedule.
Okay, that's a pretty good indication that we are going to get a new high school eventually. I would think because I think there's going to be a lot of new residents. A lot of people are going to move into this area. I think in over the next 5, 6, 7 years. So. Like you said, I think a new high school is absolutely essential. So, and I'm one other comment, Mayor. I think you've done a wonderful job in your terms, and I'm really glad that we have an exciting election coming up. And I want to wish you the very best in your venture to get another 2 years. It's great that we have the interest. We have 3 candidates and whittled down to 2. So I'm looking forward to what you and the other candidates have to say as we get moving toward election time in November.
Excellent. And you'll be hearing a lot, I'm sure.
Okay. And one quick comment for Elaine. I did cancel your trip to Illinois and to California. The folks on that end do understand you need more rest.
I do, Tom. Even though it was a shoe convention, you know, when I have 75 pairs at home, it killed me. I know.
Yeah. The mayor has to understand Elaine has such a traveling schedule, 365 days a year. So I made sure the jet won't be coming in. You know, one other quick question.
Well, sure.
I thought of this, Mayor, and maybe this has never been talked about, and it's happened in other cities. Has it ever, the idea ever been floated to have a sports team in Attleboro, a semi-pro team, whether it's baseball or football? I mean, Attleboro is a pretty good-sized community in Massachusetts. Pawtucket has a baseball team. Where I'm from, Binghamton has a double-A team. Binghamton is not the largest city in the world. Has it ever been talked about of having a stadium somewhere in this city and luring a semi-pro baseball and or football team here? And I'll hang up to hear your answer.
Tom, take care. Have a great week.
You know, Tom, years and years and years ago, actually when the city was a lot smaller, there certainly was a lot more opportunity. There were grandstands, there were massive areas, especially if they called it on the Speedway. I mean, there was a massive track, O'Neill Boulevard used to call the Speedway. There was a huge raceway over there. They used to race horses, and you can find some old historic photos certainly of that. And back in the day, there were different types of opportunities certainly for development of that size. Honestly, there's not a lot of space left for major development in the city for that purpose and for that zoning. But certainly, you know, if something came up and something was open and that there was the actual investment that wanted to take place to do something like that, I think that you never know.
That's great. Great answer. Okay, I have to hold you there because we do have to take a quick break. You are listening to Out and About with Elaine, and up next on our show, we have Jim Corbin giving us the latest and greatest of weather. We'll be right back after these messages.
Historic Preservation Society will hold their annual award ceremony on May 8th at 7 p.m. at Attleboro City Hall. The ceremony will honor people who have worked to preserve Attleboro history in a variety of ways. In recent years, awards were given for restoring historic buildings, writing local history books, and for history-based Eagle Scout projects. The event is open to the public, but seating is limited, so arrive early.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy.
Oh my God. Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo, Justin, look at us, we're over here!
Justin, OMG, I love you, Justin, I love you.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
In celebration of the 200th birthday of Henry David Thoreau, the Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary held a reading of selected Thoreau works. The event was held in conjunction with the Attleboro Public Library's Thoreau Bicentennial Celebration. The readings will be played this week on AACS Channel 15, on AACS.com, and on the AACS Roku and mobile apps.
Let's go hop. Hi there. Well, you know, when it's live radio, anything can happen, and sure, it does fall on my show. Anyway, we have Jim Corbin holding and giving us a good forecast. Tell me something good. Jim?
Yes.
You're live.
How you doing? Hello, late, Mike and Mr. Mayor.
I'm awake now, Jim.
What?
I said I'm awake now.
You're awake now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how many cups of coffee have you had?
Just two.
Just two, okay. Anyway, got a nice discussion this morning about all the development in Attleboro. Again, as you know, as I used to live in Attleboro, Georgia, I drive. I always remembered that bridge there that took for, this was like 20 years ago, on County Street, almost by the Pawtucket Line, and it took for a year, but it seems like everything else since then has really gone off real well. So I think it's a great thing for the city to see all this development. By the way, I saw across the street the other day, already one of those streets on Union Street, Mr. Mayor, boarded up. Is that a good sign?
I would think that we're going to continue the work with that landowner, and we're going to buy that property up.
That's great. Well, keep up the good work. Anyway, also good weather today. Now, we do have a band of rain that is skimming the south coast, especially down in southern Rhode Island. But if that stays the direction it's moving, I think we're going to get away with another warm and increasingly sunny day. So that's the good news. And how about temperatures near 80 this afternoon? So we're going to be seeing midsummer. Consider this, 30 years ago today, guess what was going on in the greater Attleboro area weather-wise?
I would say it had probably snowing.
You are correct. We had 3 inches of snow on April 29th, 1987. It was considered at the time the most snow for so late in the season in the Attleboro area, even places like Providence and Taunton and really all directions had as much as 6 to 10 inches of snow on the hills. Oh. I bring that up just because it's, again, still a time of year when we can have all kinds of changes, and we will this weekend, but not for real bad.
Jim, we can't talk about snow anymore.
I know.
Bring me sunshine and warm weather, please.
All right. Well, I am going to bring it today. And actually, again, the upcoming week doesn't look too bad either. But no snow like 30 years ago. But yeah, just a reminder. Anyway, let's not talk about that anymore. Tonight, falling back to about the 50-degree mark, we're going to have a big change in an air mass. It's still rather humid today. So you might think of it more like a June type of afternoon than late April. However, it should stay essentially dry. So if you have outdoor plans, you like it nice and warm in the afternoon, today is your day. Now, tonight, we cool off with a northwest wind, and the difference between today and tomorrow is the temperature. It's going to still be a mostly sunny day, but the wind is going to turn northeast. Today, it's west-southwest, northeast tomorrow. That means we're only going to have a high of 60. Now, that's, again, a lot cooler, but it's actually almost the average for this time of the year. So it's just that today is so much above average. Should stay dry, though. So if you like the warm afternoon, today is your day. If you like it cooler, much cooler but dry, you'll like tomorrow. Now, late tomorrow night into early Monday morning, there's a chance of a little bit of light rain, a weak front coming through. And then we're going to stay in the upper 50s to near 60 as we go into Monday with a chance of a little bit of rain. But if we can time out most of these, there's two little bits of rain to start the week. Late tomorrow night, late Sunday night, the Monday morning, very early, and then again late Monday night into early Tuesday morning. So those would mostly affect people that are up early. The good news, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday into most of Thursday, temperatures should be nice, mostly sunny, almost the complete opposite of this past week where we had the three straight days of the rain and the clouds and the mist. The middle of next week looks like we're going to have 2 to 3 straight days of mostly sunny weather. So that is the good news.
That is the good news as we head into the first week of May. I can't believe it, but it's coming up. Boy,
May 1st, this Monday. Yeah.
Yes, that's
May Day, but it'll be a good May Day, I think. I think we're going to have good weather for that. So, again, I'll just wrap it up short and sweet. We've got warm, humid weather today for this time of the year, and then dry, refreshingly cooler weather tomorrow.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate the wonderful forecast. You got a hodgepodge and nice way. It's a nice day to go out and get your flowers, but is it too soon to put them in?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to put them in. Well, as I've talked about, we all talk about this. If you put them in pots, and put them out, sometimes have to worry about frost and taking them in. But I don't even think we're going to have any chance of frost for the rest of the season. But
Yay.
That doesn't mean. But I would still not put like tomatoes in the ground this early. You usually want to do that by around Memorial Day. But if you have plants that you put out in pots to get them started, or even if you're just going to leave them in the pot, leave them out. And even at night, I don't think we're going to get any lower than about 45 or 50 for the foreseeable future at night. So we may have seen our last frost of the season as well.
That's great. I mean, I slept with the windows open last night, and oh man, it was so nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I mean, again, a payback from several days of rain. You see how that nature balances out, and that's exactly what's going on. And because we've had a good combination of the rain and, of course, the lifting of the water bans in many of the cities and towns, including Attleboro, also here in Mansfield where I am, we've got, again, a good combination of sunshine like today and tomorrow, and also the good combination of adequate rain now. So as long as we keep this pattern up, and by the way, I'll end on this, late next week we may have another soaking rain event by like Friday. You say, oh, that's not good. Well, it is good because it fills up the reservoirs and everything else. And again, if we could time it mostly during the week, I think, Mr. Mayor, you'd agree with that. You know, if it's going to get bad weather, it's almost better, obviously, to have it during the week than instead of the weekend. So, that might be the case on next Friday.
All right, we'll look forward to your forecast next week too, because we are going live again.
All right, sounds good.
All right, have a great weekend, and thanks again for calling in, Jim.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right. That sounds like we've got a good week ahead. This is really awesome. I did want to bring up some things for you. Next Saturday, actually, the Attleboro area celebrates the Earth Day of Recycling. So Earth Day Saturday at several recycling centers. The event starts at 9 a.m. to noontime on 29 Pond Street North. And there's going to be paper shredding. You can bring two full boxes. And they will shred it for free. Any additional boxes are $5. Mercury exchange. I didn't think anybody had any thermometers. But I guess if you do, you can bring them and they will dispose of them. They also have compost demonstrations. And you can buy them, too, for $25. And my son actually does that. He went to the recycling center. He did talk to several people. And he did say that they helped him with his compost pile. And for the last couple of days, it was just really awesome. So now we are distracted because I've got the mayor here and he's goofing on me. Anyway, we are going to take our last break, and then we're going to come right back and we're going to talk to our mayor about our new website in the city, and we're going to talk about solar energy at the high school, and I have a few more out and abouts for you and giving you the lottery numbers and the latest and greatest in the city of Attleboro. So from all of us here at Out and About, stay tuned for our last break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Put six rings under eyes, wipe the sleep out of my eyes.
Each year, nearly a quarter of a million people head to the emergency room due to slips in their bathrooms alone. When you add injuries caused on kitchen floors, pool decks, hardwood stairs, and walkways, it's over 1 million people. Your whole house is an obstacle course. That's why Sentinel Safe Floor Solutions provides services to make your existing floors slip-resistant and safe. Whether it's your family or your pet that has been slipping in your home, Sentinel Safe Floors can reduce the chances of being injured. Locally owned and operated and serving the greater Attleboro area, learn more about Sentinel Safe Floors by calling 508-535-5000.
Tune into AACS Channel 15 this week for part two of an Alzheimer's education series. Suzanne Faith of Hope Health gives an overview of the challenges faced by caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Visit AACS.com for a schedule of this and all programs airing on AACS Channel 15. You can also view the program in high definition on the AACS Roku channel, the AACS mobile app, or on AACS.com.
Twist and shout, baby. Come on, baby.
Come on and work it on out.
Work it on out. Work it on out.
You know you look so good.
Look so good.
Okay, we are back with Mayor Dumas. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I've been asking questions about from you our citizens of Attleboro. And if you have additional questions, I do have one more about a very unique concept, and it's called the third place. And someone came up to me and asked you, Mayor, in every successful community, there's a third place. And what she explained was that home is one place, work is another, and a third place is someplace where the community can go. So in Attleboro, where do you think our third place is?
And I have to say it's green space. You know, we have a beautiful park system here in the city of Attleboro. Little pocket parks, you know, little places of green space, you know, whether it's around the Blackington Inn at the Blackington Park, whether it's Capon Park, or whether it's the South Attleboro Veterans Memorial Park, or it could be Angel Park, or the little Briggs Playground and Park and Pool, Haywood Field. I mean, we just have Ponson Hewitt. We have beautiful recreational facilities. Those are all, and Capron Park and Zoo, of course, are gem. But there are also a lot of other public spaces that are green spaces. And you may not be aware, and the public may not be aware, but we're working on a new ad campaign for all of the city's land preserves with the Attleboro Land Trust, the City of Attleboro Conservation Commission, in addition to Mass Audubon Society. There's over... total, there's well over 500 acres alone in one specific sector that's preserved. That's behind La Salette, all the way that backs up to Locust Valley. That is all in land preserve. That's 500 acres just right there alone. Amazing. But there's other pockets all over the city. Over on Richardson Avenue, there's a land preserve there. We have the Coleman Preserve over off of Steer Street. And there are all of these pockets. So what we're going to do is we're making a whole map and a sign system so you can see not only with the map, but where all these places are. So if you're traveling down 118, 152, 123, all the main thoroughfares in the city, and you'll start to see these signage that pops up that points you to walking trails, that points you to places where you can go for green space. So I certainly think that when you look at in totality, there's probably close to 1,000 acres in total that are actually preserved, which is actually pretty big for a city of our size. When you look at, you know, 28 square miles, and to have that much acreage that's put in perpetuity for land preserve, and not to be developed, but to be able to protect the open space, is really tremendous. You typically don't find that type of thing happening, but we've been really, really lucky with state grants because we partner. We partner with the Land Trust, we partner with Mass Audubon Society, and of course with the city, that we can apply to the state for conservation dollars, and we're the only ones that can do that. The private entities cannot, but we as a municipality can participate to be able to get into those type of preservation grants, which really, our most recent one, which was a beautiful property, was off of Wilmoth Street. And that preserved over 80 acres, I believe, of open space. That is going to be incredible once that's preserved with the walking trails. And there's also probably another 150 to 200 acres in that area that'll back up to Rehoboth that the Land Trust is working on preserving as well.
Wow.
Oh, unbelievable. Oh, and so there's a lot of green space. And so people don't really realize where all these pockets of land are. So we're going to do a better job with that. Ted Leach from the Attleboro Land Trust has been really pushing to say, listen, we got to get this done. So Nick Wiley, who's our assistant conservation agent, he's been taking the lead in working with the Land Trust on some ideas for design of signage. And then we'll start to have them installed on the city's main roadway system so people can know where to go.
That's awesome. I like the idea of that, too. And you're going to have, like, maps and everything for people to follow. Oh, I love that idea.
So we'll have that
idea
on our website.
That's great.
And it shows the partnership, too. You know, the properties that are identified that are owned by the city, and those properties for conservation that are preserved by the Land Trust,
right,
and also by Mass Audubon.
Wow. Speaking of, we'll segue into the website because it's new and it's up and running. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the changes and where we can find it?
So one of the things I worked on as we were closing out last fiscal year, it was one of our goals that we wanted to redo the city's website to make it more user-friendly and to be able to really get into the 21st century with a modern website that has some services to it. So one of the things you'll notice when you first go to the web is at the upper right-hand corner, it can be translated into over 20 different languages.
Wow.
So literally, by just clicking on Choose Your Language, You can turn it into over 20 different languages across the world. It's really amazing. And literally transform every single portion of the website into the language that you choose.
You know, that's really great.
Especially with a city that's a melting pot and that we all do not speak the same language. So talk about accessing through a barrier that exists, right, with language, to be able to say, you know, if I'm looking for information and my English isn't great, you know, then to transfer it into the language of your choice, which is really fantastic, that people can be able to read in their own language and to be able to understand what's going on in the city, which is really, really important. That's one major feature. The other thing, it's the whole look and ease and feel of it. The pictures of the city are absolutely beautiful that were taken over a year ago, that they're really beautiful, that highlights special sections and gems of the city. But it also shows very easy the things that people are looking for, frequently asked questions. It's easy to search the website by word or phrases. You may not know what department you're looking for, but when you put in the word phrase, it'll help bring you there,
right,
which is really important, or the service that you're looking for. Rubbish and recycling delays, or you know, different types of alerts. You can sign up for alerts, which is really a new sector of the website. So if you want to be notified by text message, by a telephone call, or by email for certain types of alerts that we put out, you can do that through the website now. So if you wanted to be notified of any water main break in the city, for cancellation of school, if there was something that was going to happen as it relates to any type of delay or emergency. First, one of the neat things on the website is that as soon as you would go to the website, there'd be a flashing red, almost like a siren across the top of the screen that would show you any type of an emergency alert. So if people are wondering what's going on with the storm or storm updates, you'll be able to go there. And I can actually change the website via an app on my phone.
Wow.
And of course, that would be me with the MIS director. Really going into the 21st century, it makes things much easier. We can do those emergency alerts on the web. We can also be able to, just by the app on our phone, be able to send out those emergency alerts that you sign up for.
Right.
They really create a different user experience, and that's what we were looking for. And the departments can very easily on their own go up and update their information. So if there's a new event that's going on, whether it's the rec department or whether it's you know, the animal shelter or whatever the case is, they can go into their own section of their website and be able to do their updates very easily.
Oh my God, so it's always staying fresh.
Yeah, and the neat thing that'll be coming forward too is we have a community calendar that's going to be on a component of this website. So when people have different types of things, they can notify the MIS office, and we can end up having those types of community events added to the community calendar. And that's something we're excited about. So take a look. Go on. Take a look and feel for it. I think it's very easy. If there's sectors that people have suggestions, you know, please email me on my tab for the mayor's department. You can email me directly by just clicking on the email tab for Mayor Dumas. And, you know, we'll take your suggestions in, because it's your website too. So
that's wonderful. Well said. Now, listen, you got to give us the website address.
Yes, it's cityofattleboro, all one word, .us. So really simple. Just go right on, take a look, see how you like it, and give us some feedback of what you think. The feedback, for the most part, has been very, very receptive. The MIS director, when we get some nice emails and some messages from people, he's been forwarding them along, which has really been nice, and people seem to like it so far. So hopefully you'll like it too, the general public who's listening today, and to be able to go on and take a look at it. But we're really happy with it. And as we talk about events and different things coming up, we'll post them. So, you know, one of the ones that'll be coming up, we'll add on, is certainly the expo for the census. Can you believe it? We're approaching, it's unbelievable. I can't even think of it. We're starting to go towards 10 years now. An amazing, amazing event every year. And it was so successful having it at the park last year at Capron Park. We're going to do it again. And that's going to be on June 10th. It's a little bit earlier this year. June 10th, which is a Saturday, from noon to 5 p.m., and come out and enjoy the awesome experience of seeing so many people, not only your neighbors and friends, but bringing people even that don't live in Attleboro to come for a great day of food, fun, art, jewelry. The folks do a fantastic job, and the quality entertainment that's there for the day, and things for kids, and really using the park to its full potential on that day. And of course, in addition to our friends at the farmers market that'll be in the back at O'Connell Field, we'll be in the front section of the park. You'll see us from the street, and we'll be getting out our signage and the such for that event. and from our major sponsor, which is Bristol County Savings Bank, for that event every year. So we're really excited. It's going to be a great day of family fun, and it's a great day of community building and spirit. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, that's wonderful. Well said. I do have to stop you there because I have to wrap up the show, but thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks for the coffee this morning.
My pleasure. I tell you, anybody that comes in the show will get a coffee, or at least that's the least I can do. So I'm just going to give you a few things that are happening before we wrap up, and just wanted to let you know, if you're a Buddy Guy fan, he's going to be playing at the Park Theater in Cranston tomorrow evening. Doors open at 7 o'clock. If you are wanting a May breakfast today, the Second Congregation Church in Attleboro is starting, and I think at 9 o'clock. Adults are only $8. After breakfast, if you want a ham and bean supper, you can go to the All Saints Episcopal Church here on 121 North Main Street at 5:30. And Chicago, if you're looking for a theater, John O'Hurley of Seinfeld, you know, Jay Peterman will be in town on May 2nd to the 7th at Providence Performing Arts Center. I do plan on going next Sunday. I like the matinees, less crowded. And if you're looking for a shredding event and you can't wait till next week, Cardi's in West Warwick from 9 to noon today, they have theirs. And don't forget, next Saturday, and we'll be mentioning that again too, that we are going to have our own recycling event and shredding event too. So I want to thank Mayor Dumas for coming on. I'd like to thank Jim Corbin as well for calling in, and Mike Catanzaro for keeping me on track as always. I'm not going to do any movies, but if you do go out today, find the beauty in a dog's purpose while driving around in a circle, Fast and Furious while going in style. So make sure that you stay tuned for Dominic. Dominic Cotoy will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on every single Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8. And Dave Kane's show will be on from 9 to noon. Thanks for listening. And meet me back here next Saturday, and let's keep the conversation going right here on WARA 1320. Have a great week, everyone. Feeling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And under the lights, when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance.
Listening to WARA 1320 AM, Attleboro.